good job.
The rest of you are graduate students. Yes? No. Who are you?
I'm a research assistant professor.
Research assistant professor who wants to do what?
A tenure track.
You want a tenure track position? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They asked me if I wanted one of those. I said, no, I'm too old. No, I know me. No, not to, but you're a young woman. You need to go down that road.
I came in this late in life.
Very late in life. I've had several different careers that she didn't even mention.
For 4 years, I was a high school music teacher. Yes, I can still do that, yes. But what I know about me and who I am as a professional is I am teacher. That's who I am at the core of who I am. And I want you to think about that question at the core of who are you professionally? Because, you know, when we talk to small children, we ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all of a sudden, when you become your age, the question becomes, what do? So it's no more about the being of who we be in this profession. What do? Do. We're all about doing something, right? So I want part of the negotiation process is surety, that you are sure of who you are in the profession you are choosing and where you want to go. A lot of it concerns organizational fit. Oh, show me the jar of money. That's what we want. So money does talk, and I just have a few introductory, a few quotes, a little different, through the years, what it means. There's my favorite, Man Bob. So what does it mean to think about money and define ourselves in a society, 2010, a great time to go out in the job market, right? Huh? We're all about it right now. Boy, we just really want to stick our toe in that water and be sure that we have employment of some kind. So on the first page of your handout, there are a few bullet lines, and there's a question. So I want you to list things that are important to you and your success in your job. What's important to you? And I do want you to write at least something down. One thing. Write it down. I am watching. I want them. List the things that are important to you when you are considering a job and your success in it. Because that's where you are right now. What's important to you? Work-life balance. It's all good. there are other things because you wrote some things down. Maybe it were these. Maybe it was something else. But you see, putting a value, right, a metric to those things isn't easy, is it? That's why we always, the fallback position is, well, I've got to make X amount of money because we don't know how to value this. But that's what I want you to think about as you are thinking about organizational fit. Because I don't know if any of you considered any of these things that I've listed. But this is organizational fit at its best. And there's always either or scenarios. Do you want structure? Do you want flexibility? Are you creative or do you want to do as I say environment? Because I believe that all of you in the professions that you've chosen, yes, indeed, you are creative, not so much in the arts per se, but in your pursuit and the inquiry that you have about you. You're inquisitive. You're curious. You're scientists, right? You're researchers. You're doing this, and you want answers. You want answers to the hypothesis you pose, and you're hoping that your hypothesis will be proven correct. I don't know how many percentage of the time, but one young woman, that's all she wanted. Well, I want it to just be right. Well, of course you do. We wouldn't have science if it was always right. Would we even call it something else? We'd want to go into it. Yeah? You're all going to make your claim and your stake in some organization. Now, how many of you have had a job prior to your graduate work? A position. Yes, and what was your position?
I was in the Air Force.
You were in the Air Force, okay, and did you leave? Retire? Okay.
Oh, I didn't retire. I'm not that old.
No, no, well, I don't know. I mean, some people, hey, I don't know age anymore. But
Honorable discharge.
You were what?
Honorable discharge.
Honorable discharge at what rank?
Senior Airman.
Senior Airman, very good. Who else? I saw a hand over here. Yes?
I was a research technician.
Okay, a research before you came back to graduate school. Excellent. And did you negotiate your jobs? I know you didn't.
No.
Did you?
Not
really.
Okay.
Anybody else have a position before they came back? Yes.
Technology marketing analyst.
Technology marketing analyst. And did you negotiate your salary or any part of your offer?
Toward the end, yeah.
Toward the end?
Yeah. I ended up getting a raise from where I started.
Okay. Before you started?
No.
No. During the time?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Because it's kind of fun to get a raise before you can walk in. That's what negotiations are. What was we talking about? So, I don't know what it is for you, but what I want you to do is remember that this is what it is. This is what I said, because your fallback position and where people get very, very aggravated with their employers is because they're not staying true to these things or these things. Not saying true to yourself. Remember, who are you as professional? Well, some of these words that you wrote down is who you are as professional and what's important to you when you're thinking about work. We call it work. If it was playful, we'd call it play. We call it work. Ah, I've been working a long time. So I've got some questions that I want to pose. So how does one talk about money, salary expectations, and benefits? How do you start that conversation? Well, it usually is started for you. Because in your interview, a question that will be posed is, so what salary are you expecting? And what do you say? What's your response to that question? What salary are you expecting?
So generally, I'll say that I'm getting this much right now. I want at least.
So let's say I'm making $75,000 right now. And then what do you say after that? Or do you stop? Well, some people say, well, currently I'm making $75,000. And they stop.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I've interviewed a whole lot of people. As an HR director, HR professional, chief learning officer, all these titles I've had, I've interviewed a lot of people. And I will always ask that question, so what salary do you expect? With a smile on my face. And they say, well, currently I'm making $75,000. So what do I think? And then they want $75,000. I mean, that would be my assumption. Currently I make 75. Okay, well this one's only gonna pay 60. What are you doing here? You're wasting my time. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you hear what I'm saying? You cannot stop there. You have to continue on, and if you say, currently I'm making 75, and I'm hoping for a 10 to 15% raise in my next position. So you've just given them a range, $7,500 range, at least, right? To bump you up a notch. So the other thing you can do is that you're going to do a little research on your own and see what might be paid. And what I say is that you always answer that question with a salary range. And I typically give them a $7,000 range. So if I want between, well, I don't know, if I want $82,000 for my next position, then I would tell them that I would take anything between 80 and 87. But what I really want to live with is 82. By golly, that's what I'm going to ask for. I believe there's a handout right over there, too. That's what I'm going to ask for, is a great big fat range. And I'm going to put what I really desire and what my bottom number is, because they're not going to offer you your bottom number. And they're certainly not going to offer you the top number. But it's where we are in between that we want to play with. Okay? Another question, when is the salary discussed? Well, I just told you. It's during the interviews the first time, or even before that, please submit your resume, your CV, your cover letter, and your salary history. Now, some of you, your salary history is poverty. It's minus the debt that I now owe. Hello? I've been living, you know, I've been working three jobs, getting paid for half of one. Is this the life of a graduate student or a researcher? I mean, just saying. It's not the lap of luxury we're living in right now. So we're hoping to come up out of that and make a way for ourselves. But it can be asked even before they meet you. So how do you discuss that salary history? What? Put it on a separate piece of paper. Do not have it attached to your CV or your resume. Salary history, and you basically start with your most current position as postdoc or research assistant or graduate assistant or whatever you are, and you put that. If you did have a position, we're in the Air Force, we have the technology marketing, blah, 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 oh, there, you know, so it's going to go all over the place, right? But now you're entering a new profession. And so the job that you're interviewing for at the top of that page, I would say give the title to which you are, it's your name, your email, your phone, and the title of the job and the company to which you are applying. So every time they say, oh, this is our company. So it's not some random salary history piece of paper. You've done this for them. You've made an attempt to do that for them. I see this happening with students all the time, that they're not tweaking those little pieces of paper to get the employer's attention. And it's all about schmoozing that employer and making nice. You think it's all about you? Oh, absolutely not. It's all about them. And I'll tell you when you have the most power in the process. How do you handle this request for salary, salary history, the requirements, the expectations? Because I said, there are so many different ways to negotiate this thing we call salary, because when you look at total compensation, and that's what I want you to think about, the total compensation package with salary plus benefits, salary plus investment in retirement, will that employer match a 401k or 403b? Will they match any type of earnings that I make, you know, put it aside? If you start doing that now, you'll be in very good shape. If you don't, then you'll be like me. And you don't want to be like me. I'm kidding. That was a joke. Okay. The salary requirements, the expectations that they have of you to earn that salary. Because I think there's a time and place in the negotiation process that you can say, well, I understand you want to offer me 80. When is my first performance review? Well, we'll do a 6-month, 90-day or a 6-month check-in and tell you how you're doing. Great. At that point of time, can we take a look at the salary again? Because what I really want is $83,500. You want $3,500 more. And if they're not willing to give it to you now, can you go to work, prove to them, and if you've met their expectations and you are clear about each other's expectations, you will be guaranteed $3,500. So you're going to guarantee yourself a raise before you even walk in the door. This is what I'm talking about. And this is where people get very, very nervous about talking about that type of negotiation. And guess what? As some products said long ago, you are worth it. Because nobody else is going to do this for you. No one else. It's all about you. Finally, are all salaries negotiable? What do you think? We just learned that, you know, our military, not so much. Not so much. But I would say yes to this question. Everything's negotiable. I negotiated with the group in here before to stay longer. I said, would you be willing to stay and I could finish, wrap this up pretty quick? Yeah. Okay. I made a question, got an affirmative response. We stayed. I kept talking, of course. How does one know if there's room for negotiation? How do you know? Because sometimes it will say, this is the salary grade. I'm going to work for the government. This is what it is. It's not negotiable. Well, if that's the employer that you want to go work for, or you think you're going to go work for, you know that going in. That is not that negotiable, but what is? Because the benefits that our federal government offer are pretty hefty. They're not bad. They don't suck. However, what else can be negotiable? And there's a whole list in your handouts of other things we might negotiate for. We're going to get to that. So this is a list of research sites about salary. And I put the number one site on top, salary.com. Salary.com's information is updated every month. Every month, that salary information is updated for cities across the country. The difficult part, if you've been on salary.com, is finding the job title that fits what you are looking for. But do not give up and continue to look. They have a little, I would open this up, but I'm a little afraid I won't be able to get back to my PowerPoint, and then, you know, that would be terrible, right? But it's so easy to navigate this. And there's a little button that says more, and it tells you about this job description. So you can just start looking and reading. And I did go online based on what I think I know about what kind of field of work you'd go on. I looked at every one of these sites for you, and that's why I listed these. Because I think no matter where you're going, one of these websites will help you understand salary ranges that might be specific to you. And that's what you want to know. Because the way salaries work in organizations, do you know how salaries work in organizations? It is not random. It's all market-driven and all research-driven on how they get to the salaries that they offer to be competitive and at the same time not be foolish. Right? So there are large companies out there that do Mercer and Towers Perrin, and they're all about compensation. That's what they do. So these companies will contact and get this information from them and usually look the southeastern United States, the northeastern United States, central United States, and I'm talking about, I'm sorry, I'm not talking international today. I'm going to talk about our country today, or the United States today. And that information will be out there on that particular city in that state. So what I ask my students to do, who take human resource management with me, is I want you to look at the same salary in San Francisco, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. Because it's the same job, and of course, all three of those cities, different cost of living, different expectations of how one lives and works in that city, versus Hartford, Connecticut, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Tempe, Arizona. I mean, very, very different places to live and work, right? I mean, we're talking first tier, third, fourth tier cities. So depending on what it is you want to put out for your daily living expenses, monthly living expenses, you better know where it is, what type of part of the country. Maybe you're going to go to the Research Triangle and the Raleigh-Durham area. And that's where you're going to hopefully live and work and play and have whatever. You're going to have a life over there. Well, what does it mean? How much money can you make? How fast can you make that money? I don't know. I don't know what's important to you. Again, back to that first question. These sites can give you ideas. Indeed.com and Simply Hired are websites that also have lots of job postings. But along with that, they coupled it with really good salary information. Salary.com is the best, and they will give you a salary range. Most employers want to stay within 30 to 60% of the midpoint. So here's your midpoint is at 50%, they're going to go 30 to 60 for an entry-level position. They're really not going to go above that unless you are superstar. And if you are superstar, well then, you know, you don't need to be sitting here. Just kidding! Come on, work with me, I'll be here all week. So that midpoint is very important for you to know, because that now tells you when they ask you in the interview, what is your salary expectation? You've done your research and you can say with certainty, this is the range I'd like. And they go, oh, well, that's in our range. Now we can work with that. Because if you don't do that ahead of time, you're going to be stuck with, well, I currently make $75,000. So you've got to know this going in. And these websites can help you get there. There are professional associations that you may be affiliated with or know people who are that also do very great salary surveys. There may be alumni from this institution or other institutions from which you come or you've been in the past that can help you understand what the salary is for this particular company. And maybe you know someone in that employer's office. Maybe you have a special friend who can give you insider scoop. Okay? And of course, their website. So, when I asked you who you are professionally, you really do have to make this plan of worth. What are you worth? Because I don't know what your chosen field is. And I don't know what type of company you're going to go to. What type of company you're going to think you're going to go work for? Anyone? Excuse me?
An R1 institution.
A Research 1 institution. Very good. Anybody else?
Liberal arts college.
A liberal arts college. Where else?
Mid-sized biotech company.
I'm sorry?
A mid-sized biotech company.
Mid-sized biotech. What does mid-sized mean?
Not small and not very large.
Okay, so how big? How many employees? How many sites?
75 people.
75 people. Very good. What else? Anything else? Is that about where we are? With everyone in the room? How many of you have no idea? And really what you want is a job. Because I would stand here and say, no. Really what you want is a career. You have not teed up this much education to not have a career. If you want a job, go to Starbucks. Think you'd be a really good barista. But you can get a job. So for every $10,000 you want to make, it takes 1 month to find that job. For every $10,000 you want to make, this is statistically proven, time and time again, I see it every time. So I don't know when you've started your search, but if you're in month one or month two, woohoo, we're up to $20,000. Because where the level you are going to work at is at a level that is very, very interesting. And it's in a higher bracket for most of us, right? So I'm looking at you who want to work in a Research 1 institution, right? And you may say, well, there's just a salary and everybody's going to be paid that salary and there's nothing more. Yeah, but startup costs. What are the startup costs that you are going to negotiate for your lab, for for your work, for the technology you need. You've got to negotiate that right up front, or you're going to be served up exactly what they give you. And that can be awful. Trust me. I don't know what your skills are. I don't know what they're worth. I have no idea. Do you? Do you know what your skills are worth? No. If you're shaking your head like this, giving me a little east and west, I'm thinking, well, then why not? Why not? Oh, it's because we wrote this down. We want to enjoy our work. We want it to be rewarding. We want to have a little freedom and flexibility. Well, that's all well and good, but how much you want to get paid? You want $30,000? $40,000? $50,000 be okay? How about $82,000? $102,000? $115,000? Higher bidder? I don't know what you think you're worth. I have no idea, but I do know what your careers are going to look like. And for many of you, they're going to look... I'm doing a big crosshatch here. They're going to look a lot like this. Careers used to look like this. And there's a ladder. And those of you who are going to go into tenured positions, we all know what the ladder is for a tenure track position. And there it starts. And you start as the plebe, and you're doing as much research as you can, as fast as you can, with as many graduate assistants as you can get, and you're publishing, arrive. And I talk to my peers who are on that track, going like this, and then they get there. And we had one enter Nirvana this past year. Oh, my God. And I just looked at him. He was so tired. I said, Tom, what are you going to do? He goes, I have no idea. I mean, it's just like, and now he just won some gazillion dollar grand. I don't know. You know, superstar. He can't rest. He's exhausted. He's exhausted. It's exhausting being on publish. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just the way it is in the academy. That's what we do. That's what we do. But know that about yourself. Know that for your family. Know that for your life. And accept it and say, this is the way it is. And if I can do that for whatever the year's amount is at the institution you're going to. And you can do that. If that's what you want, and you can get it. Have at it. Go for it. But know that there will be sacrifice involved. For some of you who are going into private industry, your career may start down here in the bottom. And you may have a leap. That's a vertical leap in terms of salary and in terms of growth and professional development. You may skip two. But for you to go to the next level, you might have to go down one. And then you might have to make a lateral move to your next organization. And then you might go back up and finally reach. So the way in which we're going to gain notoriety in our field, professional development, the growth, the challenging environment, it may not be a stepping stone anymore or a ladder. The lattice environment is here to stay, particularly for your generations. Work on demand is here and it's coming. And I predict that in the next 10 to 15 years, this whole thing about companies hiring people to live and work there for a very long time is going to go for the wayside. And many and many, many of you sitting in this room will be contract workers on large projects because organizations aren't going to be able to afford it. They're not going to be able to continue to afford the salaries and the benefits. So it's going to be very different by 2020 of where you sit. I'm just one little foreshadowing here to get you ready because negotiation is going to be key in that work environment. That's going to be about the time I'm going to go sit down and I'll become a consultant again and help people who are looking for jobs. Do it pro bono. Pro bono. So I don't know where it is you will be. And people hate that question. Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? Oh, for crying out loud. I don't know. I hope tomorrow I wake up and I'm vertical. I mean, come on. So, you're going to get that question probably, because interviewers don't know how to interview. I'm just saying, they don't know what they're doing. They say stupid things and ask stupid questions. But be ready for the stupid questions. Know in yourself what it is you want. Be articulate and clear, because now you're setting expectations for your own success. So, back to this whole salary thing. Propose a range. As it gives it $7,000 or 10 to 15% above, right? That's where you want to start with that. Now, on page 4 of your handout, there's a whole list of benefits. And I think the page number's at the bottom right. There's a whole list of benefits, a whole host of different kinds of benefits, from flex spending and child care and telecommuting and gym memberships and life insurance and maternity and paternity leave. And many people think that's a given. Many people think, oh, well, this one, yeah, no, it's not. In fact, you see that first one says signing bonus. Many organizations have money set aside for a signing bonus, folks. But you've got to ask for it. Isn't that silly? Now, you would think they want to offer you a signing bonus to get you to come. We will offer you $2,500 signing bonus. And they're like, really? Okay. Well, get me there. But oftentimes, they kind of keep that, hold that back. And what part of your negotiation is, well, is there an opportunity for a signing bonus? Why, yes, there is. We can offer $2,000. And that's not relocation expenses, that's just money. Nice old crisp money. Go right into your pocket. But you have to ask for it sometimes. Everything on this list is negotiable. What's the worst thing they can say to you? No! So what? There's an organization, the Society for Human Resource Management, did a study in 2006 which said 90% of all employers, 90% of all employers offer the least amount of money to every candidate they interview. And only 57% of candidates negotiate. So, how many of you are falling in which camp? I do not want to see you in the camp that is not asking for something. And how we do that, and stepping outside, if the worst thing they can say is no, you're trying to get the most money that you want, you have to ask for it. Because if they say, we want to offer you, we're so pleased with you, you are our number one candidate, and we want to offer you $82,000, and in your heart, you want 87. By golly, 87 is all that's going to make you happy. Then you have to say, wow, 82,000, that's wonderful. I'm very, very excited. I'm going to need to think about that. And by the way, can you send me the benefit package? Oh, yes, terrific. Now, this is the moment in time that you have the most power, because now the ball's in your court. In legal terms, there is an offer, a time for consideration, and acceptance. Most of us go right from offer to acceptance, and we forget this middle part that is the most important and the most powerful for you. Because that's where you have the opportunity to ask for the signing bonus, talk about paternity leave, take a look at vacation time. 2 weeks vacation, give me a break. That's just archaic, in my opinion. But that's what most people get. In the United States of America, 2 weeks vacation, that's all you need. Give me a break. Ask for four, and you might get three. You might get three after you've worked there for 6 months. But you have to ask. You have to be creative about this. Yes, ma'am?
But how do you do that without looking greedy?
You don't look greedy.
Really?
Because they're expecting it.
I feel greedy.
Yeah, I know you feel greedy. You feel greedy, but you're not greedy. You are getting what is yours. And they can say no. And yes, your heart will pound, and you're on the phone, and your voice may be shaking, do it anyway. Practice with a friend. Have them call you and do the little scenario. I know it sounds stupid, but it's just like a handshake. I mean, people are rotten at handshake. I was meeting this guy yesterday and he gave me one of these. I'm like, oh my God. This is what we do in the United States. We shake hands. The other thing we do is negotiate. Everything. That's what we do. So practice, practice, practice. Yes.
So can you ask them, can you say I need a couple days to consider the
Absolutely.
Offer?
Absolutely. You take all the time you need. Oh, well, we really need to know about tomorrow. Yes, but I'm waiting for someone else. Get back with me. I have another offer pending. The time of consideration, they may say, we absolutely have to know by X because they found you and they want you and they want you to start now. Right now. They don't wait another minute. Can you come yesterday? Well, that'll cost you. They want me to come yesterday. It's going to cost you. So you just have to relax. The offer, someone asked me at the end of the session last time, well, if I do this, can they take away my offer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You would have to do something totally egregious to them for them to rescind your job offer. That is not going to happen. Yes?
Do your negotiations approach differ if you're in the industry versus academia? Because if you're going to postdoc, there's some kind of training. I mean,
yes.
How do you negotiate their something without sounding like, hey, I need 4 weeks of vacation in my training?
Well, what do you want?
4 weeks of vacation would be nice.
Yeah. 4 weeks of vacation would be nice, wouldn't it? So how do we negotiate and not say, well, I really want 4 weeks of vacation. I know it sounds like I'm stupid and I think I'm being greedy. But no, you say, so tell me about the time off policy. Talk to them about what their policy is and start there. Because most organizations, like Vanderbilt, has paid time off. They don't have sick leave. They don't have vacation. They just have this bucket full of time. And you can take it in increments. And so you need to know from where you sit, will you have an opportunity to take more time if that's necessary, because you know it's going to be required for you.